The next case for argument is 21-1075, Calm Software v. NetApp. Mr. Farnan, here we go. Farnham, here we go again.
In your case, Your Honor, the board erroneously found invalidity in light of OPEC reference, but it did correctly determine that the Boston Wood combination let me start with OPEC and the central issue here. This is a question of what the term portion means in these claims. In our construction, portion has to mean something less than a whole. And when you look at what this invention is about, it is about providing some sort of write access while there are restrictions to other portions. So you can have write access without delete, write access without rename, things of that nature. OPEC is essentially a worm application that locks down tracks. So there are two ways OPEC works. One, it can wait until the track is filled, and then it locks it down. As the board properly found, tracks aren't files, so that doesn't provide a disclosure of the invention. The other thing it does, and what the board relied more on, was OPEC could wait until there's an entire file written, and it would lock down all the tracks that file was in. The problem with this is that is not locking down a portion. That is not providing access. That is just simply saying everything now is essentially read-only. There's no write access of any kind.
But the claim, I mean, I get your point, and we see all kinds of cases where does the smaller part necessarily mean that the covers it? So it comes in all different flavors. We've got the Hewlett-Packard case, which seems close to this one. But the claim language here doesn't require that only a portion be restricted, so long as the entire file is restricted, which is OFEC. So as long as the entire file is restricted, a portion necessarily is. And why isn't that take on it consistent with the claim language?
Because what is being done there, it is having to make a distinction between parts of the claim. Because if you restrict all of it, then the invention here and what's described in the patent, it doesn't work. The entire file is simply locked down, right? With no kind of write access or anything to it, then you haven't done the invention. You know, it's only if you do a step where there's a portion, there's something less than the whole.
But the claim doesn't necessarily require only a portion. It says portion, but it doesn't require only a portion. So if we were in a claim construct, if we were in an infringement situation in district court, and you came in as the patent owner and said, there's infringement on this, someone else infringes, and that's because they have the entire thing, but necessarily that includes a portion, that would be a pretty persuasive argument, would it not?
No, Your Honor, I disagree. I don't think that would infringe here. These are steps in a method claim, and one of those steps is you have to provide a restriction to a portion as a step, as a thing. So that makes a difference in the cases where you're talking about where it's just sort of an entire thing and the whole thing being done. You know, in here, maybe you can go through and you could continue to put all those pieces together, but it's a method claim and it's a step. I mean, one of those, it has to be done in pieces. You know, I would agree it doesn't stop. The claim does not say, you know, you can, in additional on-claim steps, continue to do this, but at the end of the day, it has to be a portion. And I would also say that, you know, reading it the other way also, they said, you know, look at what this invention is about. It can't provide anything like, you know, write access without renaming if you just simply lock it all down.
Mr. Farnham, could you distinguish? Explain why your case in dealing with the term portion is different from Hewlett-Packard, which also dealt with the term portion, and in that case, this court said doing a final scan of a portion of a picture can be satisfied by doing a scan of the full picture. Because when you're doing a scan of the full picture, you're also necessarily doing a scan of the claimed portion of the picture. So why wouldn't that logic apply here, where we're dealing with a restriction on alteration of a portion of a file? And why wouldn't that be satisfied by a restriction on an alteration of the entire file, because that restriction on the entire file necessarily is restricting alteration of any portion of the file, and then some.
For the reason I just explained, Your Honor, and the difference here is in HP, you could actually scan the whole thing and you could pull that portion out later. You just get to the portion part. If you lock an entire file down in this case, you don't have the portion, right? The HP case is factually, and, you know, it is a case where if you scan all the thing, the other portions are in there. Here, you know, and it doesn't, at the end of the day, you know, you can then still go through HP, you can get that portion that you need, right? You can still get to the heart of the invention out of HP. Here, you can't do that if you just lock it all down. You can't do the things that the invention is trying to allow one to do, and versus come to the art of reading this, but not read these claims and think, oh, this plan's telling me I want to be able to, you know, provide, you know, write access and stuff in different forms.
I guess you're asking us to construe portion here to mean a portion and only a portion of the file?
Portion, yeah, something else in the whole, yes. And I think the plain meaning of the term portion.
Do you have a way of moving beyond what you say is the plain meaning? Can you connect your, I think, assertion that this invention doesn't work, I think, some language like that that you started with, to language in the background of the invention section that says, here's the problem we're solving, here is what we can do that the prior art was not able to do, and why that idea points to what I think you keep saying, which is the heart of the invention, I think you use that term, requires a true proper subset of the file, not the complete file, so to use mathy language, a proper subset, to be restricted.
One of the things, so the specification, and I can get you the exact site during my call. The specification talks about things like providing write access without renaming, write access without changing permissions, things like that. I can give you the exact site for those. They are.
Well, first explain. Forget about the sites. Just explain it and just explain why you think the heart of the invention here requires a focus on proper subsets of files, not entire files.
So this is the invention here is described as allowing restrictions being placed on a file that permits access to portions of it. It's how the whole patent describes this invention as a claim state.
Okay. The claim is broad enough that when it says portion, it's literally any portion, no matter how big, how small. And I guess in your view, also includes not only the data, but the metadata. It's not directed to solely the file access date or the name of the file understanding the term portion as it's used in the claim, right?
If you look at the specification, talks about things like write access without changing permissions, right? And so, yes, that would probably be more part of the metadata. And it would apply to that.
But the claim isn't restricted to that example in the specification. That's my point.
No, the claim is not restricted like that.
It could be any portion. And it's also any portion of metadata.
I believe that's correct, Your Honor, if I understand your question, yes.
Okay.
The claim itself does not contain any distinction in it. And our proposed construction is not drawing those kind of distinctions. So if there are no further questions on this, I'm going to reserve the rest of my time.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Kessel, please proceed.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. COMS 864 patent is all about restricting file access. Using software to make a read-write storage medium, so something that can be written too many times, behave like a read-only storage medium. And NetApp filed a petition with different mappings challenging COMS' claims to this technology. COM has appealed from one of those mappings, the OFAC-based mapping, and NetApp has appealed from another, a VOSN-based mapping. And starting first with COM's appeal, COM raises three issues with respect to
claims. Can you address the same portion? I understand we have a case, Hewlett-Packard, yeah. But words mean something in these claims. And when you say portion and it says the same portion of each file, why isn't it absolutely clear that the plain and ordinary meaning of portion is something less than the whole? And therefore, why would we necessarily require the patent owner to say same portion and only a portion rather than just using the word portion?
Yes, Your Honor. COM's position of portion meaning less than the whole has some superficial appeal, but it's unsupported by the plain claim language. If you look at Claim 3, which depends from Claim 1, it recites several specific examples of the restrictions that are contemplated in Claim 1. And for example, one of those restrictions is a write access without delete restriction. And this is something that applies to the entire file, as explained in the specification at Appendix 37, Column 8, Lines 6 through 23. This shows that
this is a rationale that the board didn't rely on, right? This Claim 3, Claim 6 argument as to try to re-understand the meaning of portion as it's used in Claim 1.
That's correct. The board did not construe the term portion, but it noted the fact that Your Honors raised earlier that regardless of how portion is construed, so whether you agree with NAP's position that the claim language and specification supports everything up to and including the entire file, or just COM's position about it being less than the entire file, there is no language in the claims that excludes additional portions from also being restricted. And this is similar to the HP case, again, that Your Honors mentioned. That's the rationale that the board grasped onto, and there is no need to specifically construe portion if you go in that direction.
So let me understand. The board's rationale is that it does mean portion, but there can be however many portions are necessary to result in the entire thing?
The board did not formally construe the term portion. It noted that the claims do not exclude, so even if the board were to adopt COM's position and portion meant less than the whole, the claims do not exclude other portions from also being restricted, and there's no dispute that the OFAC prior art reference contemplates, discloses entire files being restricted. So it did not make a formal holding or construction for the term portion specifically. It said that was beside the point. Regardless of which construction is adopted, OFAC still teaches the claim element.
So just so I understand, what the board said, if you do something to an entirety, you're doing it to each part.
Yes, the board did.
And that full stop.
Full stop, correct, Your Honor. Turning to COM's second argument for the...
Just so I understand, in your view, for COM's argument to actually work, the claim would actually have to say portion and only a portion? They'd have to double down on their recited portion?
Yes, Your Honor. And respectfully, COM has not officially said the limitation is limited to only a portion. They've just said it means less than the entire file. And again, the claims do not exclude other portions from also being restricted. So yes, COM would have to double down on its only a portion argument that's raised here today.
And the yes. Claim, your point about Claim 3, whether taken as a point about the proper construction or a point about the sort of unreasonableness of this, you know, simple what you do to the whole, you do to each part, mm-hmm. Is that at least one of the restriction choices enumerated in Claim 3 is one that makes sense only as to the entirety. Is that right?
That is correct.
And right why does that make sense only as to the entirety of the file?
So, Your Honor, if you look at Appendix 37, Column 8, Lines 6 through 23, the concept of delete is discussed.
Column 8, Line
6 through 23.
Okay, that paragraph, yeah.
So that first full paragraph, starting at Line 6, it talks about, specifically at Line 11, delete being an operation to obfuscate or overwrite a file. Then again, at line 18, delete operation for a file. And then again, at line 22, so all of this in column 8, a file deletion. So deletion is tethered necessarily to the entire file and not just a portion of the file.
Was there a dispute about whether the right access to delete could be something you do to a portion of a file, or was it accepted that that treats a file as an indivisible unit?
That was not a point of dispute before the board during the IPR. Okay.
That's because it wasn't presented.
This specific argument, no, because again,
right.
The board never had
an opportunity to consider this argument about how to understand portion in Claim 1 in light of this reference about write access without delete in Claims 3 and 6.
Well, respectfully, Your Honor, NetApp raised this argument.
You raised something in your reply making a reference to the specification, but you never invoked Claim 3 and Claim 6 and then tried to say, look at all the claims as a whole when you read claims, dependent claims 3 and 6 in light of Claim 1. We necessarily must understand portion to actually refer to the entire file because Claims 3 and Claim 6 recite write access without delete. And delete is defined in the specification. The patent owner was a lexicographer and said that can only be referencing deleting the entire file.
Respectfully, Your Honor, the dependent claims were discussed at the oral hearing at Appendix 1081 to 1082.
You were talking about the reply, though, right?
Regardless, a party is able to rely on anything in the specification to support an existing construction, and this has been a construction that NetApp has argued since the petition, that portion, can be anything less than up to and including the entire file. It has submitted a number of different pieces of evidence in support of that construction, including the reference to column 8 at Appendix 37 of the specification, the dependent claims during the oral hearing as well, and again in its briefing before this court. Turning to the second issue, the restricting access limitation. COM tries to distinguish between files and tracks to argue that OFAC does not disclose restricting file access, but substantial evidence supports the board's finding that OFAC discloses an embodiment where insurance and medical files are immediately converted to a read-only state when they are written to the storage medium. This is at Appendix 361, Column 8, Lines 26 through 39. And as the board found, this embodiment makes OFAC's tracks files distinction irrelevant. So COM's only remaining argument here is that this embodiment makes a read-write storage medium behave like a read-only storage medium, which, as we discussed before, is actually the entire point of the 864 patent. And there's no dispute that OFAC discloses an actual storage medium that is a read-write storage medium. Third, COM has said it is unclear if the board found OFAC anticipates or renders obvious claims 1 through 3, but COM admits in its blue brief at page 22 that, quote, the board states OFAC anticipates. COM is simply disagreeing with the board's factual findings regarding anticipation. And then, unless the court has any further questions on the main appeal, I would like to briefly touch on the cross appeal. There are 6 claims at issue in the cross appeal. The court does not have to address any of these arguments for claims 1 through 3 if it affirms COM's appeal. Claims 5, 6, and 9, however, remain at issue. And if I can direct the court's attention to Vossen Figure 4, which is at Appendix 367. During the IPR, NetApp argued that Vossen's entire file system, so this is what's shown as file system D here in figure 4, D as in dog. NetApp maps that entire file system to the logical storage medium. It then presented two different arguments using file system D in two different ways. For the first mapping...
What page of the petition are we referring to? In which volume of the JA?
For the Vossen reference or the petition?
Well, you want to say you raised two arguments in your petition. So
okay, fair enough.
That's what we're looking for.
If you turn to appendix page 84 and 85, that's where this mapping is discussed in the petition. And it is again discussed at appendix 871 to 874 in the reply. And it's again discussed at appendix pages 1084 to 1090 and 1145 at the oral hearing.
Is this ultimately a question, or at least is it sufficient for the board to be affirmed to ask the question, did the board abuse its discretion in reading your petition not actually to make the argument for that you eventually, and the argument you're now making, maybe or maybe not made in the reply, but we have said that the board's reading of what is fairly explained by the petition is, we assess under an abuse of discretion standard. And I guess I'm having a hard time seeing an abuse of discretion for how the board read your petition as not really making the argument you're now making.
Respectfully, Your Honor, the board did not address whether the argument was timely raised or not, and it is clear the board and the parties engaged in a discussion about two different mappings, one about going outside of file system D to other multiple file systems, and another mapping about staying inside file system D, the same singular file system. The board's final written decision...
When you say the parties engaged in discussion, that encompasses multiple stages. The board is entitled to say the only one that matters, at least in one direction, is the petition. And if I don't see it there, I truly am not obliged to pay attention to anything that came later, because all of that would be new.
The board did not make any findings specifically on that issue, Your Honor, and respectfully, we request at the very least that this court vacate and remand so the board can at least assess the timeliness question or whether the argument was actually raised. But here, throughout the petition, the various citations I've provided already, we did provide and submit two different arguments, one about going outside, one about going inside. The final written decision only talks about going outside. So the board
I know there's no requirement that you seek reconsideration, but did you seek reconsideration here on this basis?
We did not seek rehearing, Your Honor.
Because you think that it makes some sense that in an instance where you just think the board failed to consider an argument, that that would be the kind of thing that would be cleaned up necessarily, probably in the interest of both parties, if you filed a motion for reconsideration, at which point the board would be forced to deal with an issue. We don't know whether they thought about it and thought it wasn't properly raised, whether they looked at the petition and didn't even see it. So a remand seems like a less efficient manner to get this cleaned up than a motion for reconsideration, right?
As you noted yourself, Your Honor, there is no requirement that a party seeks rehearing before raising the issue in an appeal, and we do submit that the argument was clearly presented throughout the various papers and at the oral hearing, and the board's complete failure to address any argument about inside whatsoever requires a vacated
argument. Can you get back and let's just focus on the petition? So I'm looking, I guess, at appendix 84 to 85. Is that the right place for me to be looking?
Yes, Your Honor.
And the carryover sentence, I think, is, or one sentence, two sentences, one sentence.
Yes, Your Honor.
And I have I think it's really pretty darn clear there that you're not talking about the inside the restriction hierarchy. That you're saying Vossen doesn't restrict things outside, Willman provides a tool, which is just about the tool for doing what has just been described, which is all outside.
Admittedly, this may not be a model of clarity, and the words outside and inside are not used, but outside is necessarily tethered to the discussions of multiple file systems, and that's what you see here on appendix page 84, talking about going outside of the entire file system D to other file systems for the VOSN alone mapping. Then when you get to the top of page 85, you see that we're talking about accessing free space portions of the file system singular. That is the Boston-Woman combination, staying inside a file system D. When you look at the reply, this provides perhaps some more clarity on appendix page 873, where again you see that multiple file systems versus single file system distinction. Specifically, right at the above subsection C, we say Boston and Boston in combination with William allow access to free space portions of a single file system. So this is the Boston-Woman combination. Or in the case where the logical storage medium is made up of multiple file systems, plural, this is the going outside, the Boston-only proposed mapping. And those two concepts, the multiplicity of file systems and the outsideness, are reiterated again throughout the oral hearing when counsel responded to questions from the board. So, for example, if we look at appendix page 1089 at the oral hearing, starting at around line 13, we say, so an example, in our example in D, that's all happening within that restricted storage medium with the entire file system here. There is that within language we are saying inside file system D singular. Then when talking about the Boston alone mapping, we talk about accessing free space in other parts of that file system. At line 23, this is reiterated again at appendix page 1145, where we say, starting at line 10, the Boston-only ground is also there in the petition, and that's what we're talking about when there could be, quote, multiple file systems making up a file system. But, starting at the next line here, line 14, the combination of Boston and Willman is described, and I think the clearest place for the colloquy of that restriction happening at the process restriction filter driver onto the file system singular by changing the path name, and then any free space is found in that restricted hierarchy. So again, staying inside a file system D. I see that I've gone well over my time.
Can I ask you just one follow-up question? The pages you were showing us, 84, 85, that had to do with claim 5, not necessarily claims 6 and 9. You're saying that the argument you're making is for 3 claims, not just claim 5. So where is the argument with respect to 6 and 9? Because that was given kind of short shrift in the petition. I'm looking at pages 97, 98, or whatever, and I'm not... What would you point to with respect to claims 6 and 9 where you preserved it in the petition?
Yes, Your Honor. So appendix 84 and 85, respectfully, is element 1C, and that is the same element that is in the other independent claims as well, claims 5 and 9 that you were mentioning. And we refer back to, for example, at appendix page 88, we repeat the arguments citing back to element 1C. And then
you got to slow down a little.
Sorry, I apologize.
So 84, the heading for that is 1, 2, and 5, right? What appears in 84 and 85 now?
I apologize, I'm not understanding. 1, 2, and 5?
Yes. I'm looking at for ground. Doesn't that section begin at page 78, appendix 78?
Yes.
And that deals with claims 1, 2, and 5.
Yes, okay. Your Honor. Correct.
So that's where we get 84 and 85 in the narrative there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's 1, 2, and 5. Where do we get to the argument that you're saying you are making with respect to 6 and 9?
So, Your Honor, the other independent claims are claims 5 and claim 9. Claim 5, as you mentioned, is caught up in that same ground, and it is discussed at appendix page 88 by referring back to element 1C. And then element 9C is discussed in the following ground, which brings an additional reference that's not an issue on appeal.
I'm sorry,
here.
And you're skipping over 6 because 6 depends on 5. Is that what I understand you to be saying? 6 is dependent on 5, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, that's correct, Your Honor.
Okay, so having done it for 5, you're doing it for 6. Okay.
That's correct.
Okay,
yes.
And so
sorry,
what remains is 9.
And then for
which is an independent claim.
That's okay. Correct. And Your Honor, that's in the next ground, starting on appendix page 89. And that mapping, again, refers back to element 5C, which refers to element 1C, and that mapping starts on appendix page 97.
This is where you're saying element 9C repeats many parts of element 5C, and you earlier said 5C repeats 1C.
That's correct, Your Honor. And 1C is respectfully where the argument is presented for the Boston-Woman combination for the staying inside the file system.
It's quite a hunt for the board to go through in these petitions.
It is common practice, Your Honor, to refer back to other claim elements to the extent that they're similar and have been discussed in prior mappings, and that was similarly done here.
Anything further? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
If the other side reaches the cross appeal, we'll retain a couple minutes for your response. Okay, we're good to go. Can you hear us?
Thank you, Your Honor. I'd actually like to start with the cross appeal. In this case, the claims are actually divided here in terms of the two arguments, so some of these claims were allowed, so I think that's important to start there. This, as was noted, this is an abuse of discretion issue. On the record in this case, I don't think there's any way to find that there's an abuse of discretion by the board. The board specifically looked at the petition, it looked at what was said there, and for the oral argument that I referenced here, the board actually raised this issue and said, I don't understand. There was on like three different occasions by saying, explain to us where this argument is, here's your petition, here's the language. You know, how do you get to this point? After doing all that, the board then goes, relies simply on the petition, and renders its decision. I think it's clear on the record that the board had obviously decided that that was a late raised and forfeited argument. Remanding to the board basically asked them to put out an order saying, yeah, that's what we found, I think it's required. And the record in this case provides more than enough evidence and more than enough indication that the board was aware of what was being said and just didn't buy it. They didn't agree. There's nothing here. This is not one of these cases where, you know, a party comes in, just clearly points to something in their petition, puts it directly and says, look, here's what we said, XYZ. XYZ appears nowhere else here in this record. You know, this is something that XYZ wasn't said to begin with, and the board raised it with an oral argument and tried to get a chance to explain. They didn't convince the board, and the board made a determination to just simply stick with what they clearly said in their petition. And so there's simply just no abuse of discretion here, and no reason to overturn the board's determination. And then I'd like to, if there are questions for me on that point.
Go ahead.
Okay. So I'd like to just quickly turn back to OFAC, just to reiterate a couple of points here. OFAC is a WORM application. It does one of two things. It either locks down individual tracks or locks down individual tracks relating to files. It has no concept or way of locking down anything that would be considered a portion of a file. OFAC is not operating like that. And essentially what he's trying to do is take, you know, a regular hard drive and turn it into a write once, read many times drive. That was the point of this application. The things that are being claimed are the idea of portion of file. It's not even a relevant concept within OFAC. OFAC doesn't actually disclose anything. Anyone reading it itself recognized that, you know, tracks are not products. You know, having another track doesn't mean that you left on file. You know, you can't make an argument that says, well, there's part of, you know, this file isn't part of this track or that track. You know, those things don't work in OFAC. It had did a simple thing, created, you know, basically a worm drive, a worm disk out of an existing hard drive. But it did that by making everything readable.
Thank you. Thank you. Now, the other side did address your cross appeal. I'll give you a minute if you think it's necessary for you to, if you have anything to, you need to respond to.
I would just like to make one quick comment.
Okay. I think you have to go to the podium. It's the nature of the beast. Okay.
Very quickly, timeliness is something that's relegated to. Thank you. Timeliness is something that's relegated to board discretion. The board made no findings about that here, and we respectfully request that the board do, or the court remand for the board to do so in the first instance. As this court commented in Ariosa, factual and discretionary determinations are for the agency to make in the first instance. Thank you.
Thank you. We thank both sides, and that case is, the third case is submitted.